Hello.
Maybe we should make, there should be a band called Dumb Van Halen.
Dumb Van Halen.
Might as well Dumb Jump.
Which iteration?
All right. What's on the docket for post-show stuff? Okay, let me do the thing that I wouldn't want to talk about in the pre-show.
Okay.
Because you were talking about adding hop juice to coffee.
Right.
And I remember at one point being at Japanese restaurant I used to go to, now like 8 years ago, thinking of it. But I used to go to there, like, you know, that was when Shane was still in town. Mm-hmm. I used to go there every week. And I was having some kind of salad or something, and I didn't like the dressing. But I was having a sushi bar with the guy I knew doing the sushi, and he said he just mixed some wasabi and soy sauce. Said, "Try this." And I was like, "Wasabi and soy sauce? Come on, that's nothing new." And it, but it worked. It worked brilliantly. So there's something about that flavor that went really well. And I think the same thing with hops. It's like, you know, well, what are hops going to do to coffee? Well, it's a flavor you like.
Right. Yeah, it was very interesting. TV-wise, The Americans just started up.
Yeah, I need to get on top of that. I actually had... So I don't know, have you been watching True Detective? Have you?
Oh, no, I need to get that.
So there was an article by Emily Nussbaum in The New Yorker about how True Detective, it's a good show, but it really does its women a disservice.
Okay.
By not...
Is it written by Sorkin?
No, it's not written by Sorkin. But it is written by one guy. But because the women are really just caricatures. And, you know, as I was reading the article, you know, I kind of agreed with it, but I was like, well, if, you know, it's only going to be an 8-episode series. Maybe it's, you know, and it's really focusing on these two characters. Maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. So this is the second season, right?
No, this is the first.
Oh, first. Okay. Because I remember you saying it's an anthology.
Yeah.
So I think where you're going is next time, if one of the main characters is a woman, they'll probably be much more developed.
Well, no, that's not where I'm going.
Okay.
You know, I read that article. I thought it was a good article. I thought it made good points. But, you know, I kind of dismissed it a little bit. And my sister tweeted something where she said that she agreed with the article. And she included Emily Nussbaum in the tweet. And I responded to both of them basically saying, you know, yeah, it, you know, I agree with the article's premise, but it's only 8 episodes. Maybe that's something. And Emily Nussbaum responded to me and said, well, you know, look at these other things I was talking about, like Top of the Lake or Broadchurch, that do better women characters. And Top of the Lake is only 5 episodes, and Broadchurch has 8 episodes. So they could do better. And I was like, yeah, you know, I need to watch these.
Mm-hmm.
And I tweeted that, and she favored it. So another thing I like about Twitter, you can have these conversations with people who you would never have real conversations with.
I mean, you would never, back in the era of email, before spam ruined email, you may but probably would not have emailed her and then actually gotten a response back, you know? But with Twitter, it's, you know, quick little thoughts and, yeah.
And so now I've downloaded Top of the Lake, and so we're going to watch that. And I want to download Broadchurch and the other one that she mentioned, which I... Let me take a look and see what it was.
Well, I was having a tweet. Like, I had a little bit of a interaction with, quote, here's the biggest air quotes I can make, celebrity, right? Where, what was it about?
The Fall is the name of the other one.
It was, so that when that dude lost, did we talk about this in the air, when the dude lost his Twitter handle, you know, was at the letter N?
I think we may have mentioned something about that.
So, you know, the story came out, and it was the same way Matt Honan, the Wired writer, different companies, but the same basic social engineering. The premise is, one company holds a piece of information as the keys to the kingdom, and another company holds the other piece. That piece of information is not important. So the hackers go into company B, get the piece of information, and they go to company A and get the keys to the kingdom. So this dude lost his at the letter N Twitter handle, super valuable, because it's short and whatnot. The amount of value can be argued about ad nauseum. But really, I mean, as far as Twitter handles go, it's as valuable as, maybe it's a slightly less valuable than A, B, C, and D. But other than that, it's as valuable as anything you can get. Other than getting, you know, at Microsoft or something like that. Yeah. But so I sent a tweet, you know, to Matt Honan. I said, at N got Matt Honan'd, you know, and I told Brian Krebs, a security journalist, to, you know, take PayPal to task for this, right? And there was a little bit of a conversation after that. Krebs was asking me questions because he, I guess I broke the story to Krebs, apparently. And then another guy who's in security circles who contributes to Security Now podcast I listen to was tweeting. So I was like, I'm talking with these guys, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, not that security researchers are rock stars, but, you know, it's like, you know, I'm having a conversation. Right. I'm part of the conversation with these guys. That was pretty cool.
You're allowed to be included in conversations mm-hmm. with people that you normally wouldn't be included with. And because it's a quick thing, because you're not establishing a relationship, you know, they can ignore you if they feel like you're being a dick or something like that. But since you're just adding mm-hmm. to the conversation, you can feel like you're influencing certain things. And that's a good thing about Twitter. Now, but when you were describing the story to me, the thing that came to my mind was Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Because Bitcoin has no central authority, right? If something like that were to happen, if someone were to steal money, nothing you can do about it. You can't get insured on that money. You can't even go to any sort of criminal court because it's non-regulated. There's a real problem with that. I understand why. Look, I get the concept of the libertarian ideal. I understand why it's attractive. What I don't understand is why people and smart people who are very, you know, very smart people who look at things in very logical ways. We all do this to a certain extent. So I'm not saying that, that this is necessarily, you know, a fault of people, but like, for example, our friend Greg in New Zealand is a very big proponent of these libertarian ideals.
And it's going to be here next month.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that these kind of things show us why these libertarian ideas fail. They rely on this concept of perfection, this concept that doesn't exist in reality.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have a lot of criminals, libertarian doesn't work so well, right? You have to have law and order.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
if you have so much crime and corruption, I don't know if corruption is the right word, but if you have so much crime that the local militias can't maintain it, then, you know.
I mean, libertarian works great if no one tries to take advantage of the libertarianism. That's not going to happen. Right. If you have a libertarian society, then there are going to be people who take advantage of it. Sometimes the libertarians themselves will say, look, I want this situation set up so that now I can take advantage of the situation.
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of what you see in a lot of the ultra-rich, right?
Yeah.
You know, they are financing the right-wing agenda to get the people that are just middle class to believe in the right-wing agenda.
Right, to support,
which because often to support can,
rich people.
Yeah, which will often support the rich people more. I know, I don't want to, I don't want to sound
because,
like,
hey, you could become rich. There's a chance. But it's as much a chance as a lottery. Because so much else is involved in terms of getting you into that situation. Yeah, it's possible you can become rich and get into that area, but there's so much that has to happen. Whereas, wouldn't you want to build a society where the best kind of society is a society where no matter what situation you're in a good spot, right? I mean, if you were to build a society without having any, without being in it, you were to build a society and you didn't know where you were going to be in it, you would want to build a society where no matter where you were, you would still be able to have success.
Mm.
That's the ideal. It's not build a society where a certain type of behavior gives you success, because not everybody's going to have that behavior. You want to build a society where no matter what, there's success. Now, I don't know that I'm not saying that there is a society like that. I'm not saying that we can build a society like that, but I'm saying that's the ideal, right? Because there's always going to be people who disagree with you, people who don't have the same motivations that you do, people who want to do different things. Mm-hmm. And we should want a society that allows for that, because we should want a society that allows for everybody to have their modicum of success in no matter what, no matter where they are. As opposed to, I really like this type of, you know, this type of advancement. That's how I want things to go. Therefore, everybody should do that. And those who don't do that, well, let them fail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that last statement was probably the most liberal thing I've ever said on the show. So I don't mean it sounds sweeping and you know, overly broad, but you know, you definitely see that. I mean, you have to be deluding yourself if you don't ever see that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where the ultra rich are promoting an agenda to the middle class that doesn't help the middle class.
Absolutely.
And they're convincing them and brainwashing them to support this agenda just to help the ultra rich.
They're using interesting propaganda tactics to do it. The Fox News channel is a channel devoted to helping rich people get richer and shitting on the people who are helping the rich people get richer. It is acting like a Ponzi scheme. And it's hurting people. Mm-hmm. I really think it's hurting people. Now, that's not to say that are there not liberal things that hurt people? There absolutely are. I'm not a communist. I don't think everything should be equal in every sense of the word, because I don't think that that's manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I do think that the whole idea of everything being based on some libertarian concept of work is a wrong way to structure a society. There's a group of people that work is very helpful for, and work works well. And there's a group of people where their work isn't necessarily the kind of work that's going to make money, but it's good for society. Artists, for example, things mm-hmm. like that, where, you know, then you have to turn that into some sort of bankable commodity in order for them to be able to survive. You know, that starving artists are a cliche, but they're a cliche because they happen so often. And occasionally you get artists who make it big, but there are lots of artists out there who can contribute a lot to culture.
Right. I mean, so, you know, I'm going to swing back the other way. You know, I'm going to sound very different from the statement I just made where, mm-hmm. you know, I definitely believe in, you know, free market economy and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely.
Where, you know, it shouldn't be anything like communism. You know, if you're selling a product people want, you should be able to do well. If you're selling a product, and this is, you know, an artist that, you know, isn't selling, right? If you're selling a product people don't want, you're not going to prosper, right?
No, yeah, I agree with that. But
where I have the problem is the ultra rich and the ultra big corporations rewriting the rules for everyone.
Well, the part where I have a problem with the situation is, okay, I agree. If you're making art that people don't like, then you should not be necessarily rewarded for that, right? If you're mm-hmm. making art that doesn't sell, if you're making art that people aren't Like, then you shouldn't be rewarded. But I don't think basic living standards is a reward. I think basic living standards is something that we should simply supply to everybody because we are rich enough to do so. And I think we can still have extremely rich people with, you know, with extremely powerful, you know, ways of you know, separating themselves out from society, at the same time still supporting everybody to a basic level that lets them survive. I think the idea that simply because a person doesn't have the skills to compete doesn't mean that we should simply let them out in the street.
I mean, the way you worded it, I do take issue with one thing, right? So I could choose to do something that has no chance of ever making any money, right?
Right.
And continue to do that forever because the government's going to support me. I don't go that far.
Why not? Do you think that we should let people out on the street if they don't, if they decide that they don't like the way, if they want to make something or they want to do something that doesn't, that, you know, that doesn't comport to a specific value of a capitalist system, that they should simply be let out to die because of that?
So you threw some hyperbole in there.
Not necessarily.
You kind of did. You did. I know. I think you should have to do something that has value in the market. I think.
Why does the market determine value? Why does market determine all value? I mean,
because that's how you get a paycheck to pay for shit.
Well, that's how the system is set up, so you get a paycheck to pay for shit. But the market determines value, and the value can. But we are rich enough to supply to give everybody a basic, you know, a very, very basic income that allows them to have essentially a roof over their heads and you know, food and shelter and that
for sort doing of absolutely nothing.
Well, for doing nothing that.
Well, you could define.
Yes.
My art is to do absolutely nothing.
Yes, for doing absolutely nothing. Yes. Yes.
So, no, I'm not that far liberal. I can't go that far.
Because I think that if you don't allow for that, then what you're saying is that people who decide to do absolutely nothing because their idea of what to do doesn't fit society's idea of what's valuable, they should be left to die. And that is a social Darwinistic idea.
Okay. And I can't go to the point where I'm trying to figure out how to word this best, but
We should not be a society as rich and prosperous as we are should not let people die, let people be homeless because they aren't of value to our system, because for whatever reason they don't have a particular value. I mean, they're human beings. They have a value in that they're human beings, and they have a value in that they are environmentally coupled to people around them. There's a value there is a value in keeping them alive just in general, not just in the ability for them to allow for there to be the accumulation of wealth.
I mean, you're taking it to the extreme. You're saying someone who doesn't want to work at all should be provided for.
I'm saying that, yeah, I believe that's an extreme case. I believe that people will if they're supplied with, you know, with the basic tendencies, they will get some. They will be people, and by being people, they affect society. And
I think people should have. You know, if someone who strives to work, to bring themselves up, right, should get the help they need. If someone is saying, fuck you, I'm not going to do any work ever, I don't think the government should support those people.
And I don't think that the government can make that decision for other people. I don't think that, because what if somebody, you know, wants to do something with their life? I mean, everybody wants to do something with their life. That's the way people work. Nobody wants to just sit around and die. People want to interact in some way. People want to have something to do. If you support people to a very general level, which we are more than capable of doing with the amount of wealth that we do, then that in general helps the overall society. And there are going to be people who take advantage of situations. Yes, that's going to happen. But that happens everywhere. How many rich people are taking advantage of the situation right now? How many parasites do we have that happen to live, you know, in golden palaces, who are taking advantage of our economic system and leeching huge amounts of money, the kind of amounts of money that would support all the lazy people in the world, right? And these are people who are just parasites, effectively just parasites, and just taking one out could support all the people in the world, and yet they're making billions of dollars. And you're saying to me, no, let those people die. That one guy, he's doing a valuable service. No, that's bullshit.
I didn't say that. I wasn't talking about that whole picture.
But that's what happens when you take this view. That's what happens when you take this view that, oh, we only accept what we take as valuable to society. There are going to be parasites at all levels. The parasites at the high level are going to make so much money, they're going to be able to pay for everybody who's at the low level. Just one of them. And there are thousands of them. So what do you say? Do you say, well, yeah, let those parasites stay, but the parasites that are really low, no, let them die.
I don't know where to take this to next.
That's why my view is a very basic income, a very basic level of support for everybody, every single person. But you can make as much money as you want, right? I mean, you can still take, you know, go where society is going and make as much money as you want and become super rich. But at the very least, because we can afford it, every single person gets a very, you know, extremely basic level of support. I don't think that's communism. I think that's just humanity. I think that's just humanism.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
Okay. Amazon Anonymous?
Let's do it. Let's take a look here.
We did a show last week, right? So it's just 7 days?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
7 days.
Got a few big ticket items here. All right, so I'm going to pick this item here. I'm curious what this is. Someone bought the Tivoli Audio Model 1 AM-FM Table Radio Cherry and Cobalt Blue, $179.99. There's only 16 left in stock from Chasing Digital, fulfilled by Amazon. So it's a radio with a big old knob, looks kind of retro. The Cobalt Blue keeps it from looking retro. If you did the black, ooh, the black one looks pretty sexy too. The green one's kind of funky, but the walnut and beige one looks like something from like the late 50s, doesn't it? Here you go. You can just look over here.
Oh yeah. That's pretty cool looking.
Someone bought this one here. The one with the really rich blue front. That's kind of nice.
That's still pretty cool.
So what's the point of this radio? It's a high performance table radio with a simple design and superior sound reproduction. Attractive furniture-grade handmade wood cabinet doubles as acoustically inert housing. Okay. Okay, so it's just AM, FM. There's no internet here.
I think it's kind of a cool like thing to have on your desk or something. It looks really cool.
Yeah. Here's a product description. Let me look through this real quick. High quality, retro styling. Famed audio engineer Henry Kloss's long career. It's the culminating achievement of his career. Designed from the ground up by Kloss, who passed away in 2002. The radio exudes understated class and elegant simplicity.
All right. Thank you.
It's a neat little radio, for sure.
I'm going to pick the Vidal Sassoon family pack of six combs. Jeff laughs, but I think it's cool. There are lots of different combs that can be... I mean, you know, Jeff and I are not big into hairstyles, right? It's
For $3.49?
Yeah.
I'd buy six combs.
Yeah, they're all different types. You know, ones with the handle on it, and the kind of stuff that your barber uses. All types of cool... Six combs.
The one with the point for, doing, like, girls' hair manipulation stuff that I don't know what they're called.
Six combs for $3.49, great deal. And, you know, combs are always useful, even if you... you could probably find a use for all these combs, even if you don't have hair. So I think that's pretty cool. So family pack of six combs by Vidal Sassoon, $3.49. $3.49. That's a pretty good deal. So there you go. Amazon Anonymous. Thank you, everybody.
There's a first. Someone used, I guess Amazon Local is kind of like Groupon. Someone bought one of those things through us for the first time. A one-day admission pass for two adult tickets to Travel and Adventure Expo.
Where's Adventure Expo?
I clicked the link. It's dead now. But it sounds like, you know, like when one of those expos or things, you know, right before... Like the week before, when there's still a lot of tickets left, they throw them on Groupon and stuff. That's probably what happened here. Because it was $10 for two people to go to this Adventure Expo. So it was probably like right before it happened. And now the link's dead, so we have no idea what state, what city this Adventure Expo was in.
What was it?
My God. Yeah, so you haven't watched The Americans. No. The first episode just premiered. Pretty good stuff. But yeah, watch the first season. It's for people who don't know, it's a great premise. It's set in the 1980s, and then the main characters are Russian spies under deep cover in America. And they have operations, and they're doing pretty spy stuff. But they, you know, they're under deep cover. They've been trained to... act like Americans since they were young teenagers, I think. And
be a quote-unquote family, right?
A family, yeah. And, so the second season just started, and the first season was very good. It's on FX, and you can... You might be able to watch season one on Amazon Prime. I was just on the Roku today because Max wanted to watch something, and they had a banner for The Americans. So season one might be on Prime for free.
Well, there you go. Well, I have Prime, so yeah.
Well, you have other ways to find it as well.
Yes, but I do have Prime.
Justified's going on. That's an always entertaining show. Yeah.
Oscars are tomorrow. Don't care.
At some point I'll get a list of the nominees and probably watch some of those movies. Even though I did hear a review on NPR with Bob Mondello and someone else, and they were kind of like, the nominees even suck this year. You know, like the best movies weren't even nominated for some of these things.
Isn't that often the case that, you know, the really best movies, you know, they tend not to be the big studio movies that become
And they also had another point, though. Bob Mondello, you would think he would kind of play off an action movie like Gravity, right? But he was like, Gravity deserves more than they're going to get, right? Because it's not... The Oscars typically reward important movies, like 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
Gravity is great filmmaking, but not an important movie.
And Gravity was an experience opposed to
it was great filmmaking, right? Yeah. And he feels that Gravity is not going to be rewarded appropriately for great filmmaking in the Oscars.
I mean, it could be. I would not be surprised to see Gravity win, at the very least, the Best Director nod. Because that's really, filmmaking. That's where the filmmaking comes in. It's not a great script. So, Gravity's not going to win.
Every frame of Gravity ran through our equipment. Every frame of Gravity was rendered through our equipment.
Even the ones where she finally landed and she's on an island?
I was told every frame was rendered through our stuff.
Okay.
Did I tell you? I can say this.
Even the credits?
Yeah, probably. It still needs rendered. You have this credit scroll in a computer. You got to render it to video somehow. Might as well render through us as well. The 13, was it 13? 12? 12 or 13 largest grossing movie, top grossing movies of 2013 all used us.
Okay. Crappy radio he's talking
about. No. Of your systems. They used... They either are customers of ours or used effect shops that are customers of ours. But the top 12 top grossing movies of 2013 all employed Avir to some degree. So,
well, that's nice.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
This can's done.
Yay! It's a big fucking can. Anything else?
Did you meet this Jeopardy guy? There's a controversy with this guy who's winning on Jeopardy now.
Oh, is there? No, I haven't heard about Jeopardy.
Because he is playing in a way that Jeopardy purists don't like.
Okay.
Because Jeopardy purists...
Is he playing from the bottom up or something like that? Or
Jeopardy purists like at least people to do Collins, but what he does is he jumps around because he's searching for the Daily Doubles.
Okay. Does he have an algorithm that helps him find the Daily Doubles?
He probably has some sort of... Yeah, he has some kind
he
of...
He knows that it's probably not on the corners and along the edges and stuff like that.
Right. And there are apparently Jeopardy fans who think of him as kind of a villain because that's what he does. And I don't... I haven't watched him play, so I don't know. But that doesn't sound to me like anything bad. He's just taking advantage of the way...
Is this Arthur Chu?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to look into it. I'll have to watch it now. I haven't watched Jeopardy in a while. I used to watch it regularly.
Yeah.
But then I had kids. It sounds like there was... Remember the game Press Your Luck with the whammies?
Yeah.
And there was the one dude who figured out
algorithm. Yeah, because they only had like six different ways to move around. He'd figured out all those six different ways.
Right, so he would daily double.
Well, he would avoid the whammies is what he would do.
Right.
And
big bucks. Oh, no, it was big bucks. That's what they called it, big bucks.
Yeah, big bucks, no whammies. And, then when that happened, there was no laws, there were no rules against doing that. And then I think they made that, instead of just six ways, they made it 24 ways, which made it a lot harder for somebody to figure out. I mean, a computer could do it, but we're not computers.
Right. Look, he's won 9 times now? Chu?
Yeah. See, the weird thing is, people didn't get upset about Ken Jennings when he won, 74 times or whatever he did.
Mm-hmm.
But people get upset at him because he jumps around on the board.
No, it's because he's Asian. That's why.
Yeah. What else is there? I don't know.
I shouldn't say because he's Asian. I should say because he's Oriental.
He's a Chinaman.
That's it.
Yeah. I guess that's it. I don't really have anything else to talk about.
I'm good.
All right.
I'll think of some fun stuff for next time.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening.
I didn't bring my game to the pre and post shows.
Thanks for listening to my economic rant. If you disagree, by all means, respond. I will... you could give me a good argument, and I may agree with you, but for right now, I think I'm kind of on the right track. But I can be convinced by a good argument. Jeff knows that. I can be obstinate.
He can be very obstinate.
But eventually, I can be convinced.
All right. I guess, yeah, let's wrap this up. I'm getting to the point where I got to pee, so we will see you next time.
All right.